Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, one verse at a time, and we're doing it in chronological order. So today we're in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy is a great book. It's loaded with history from A to Z. It's just got so much in there, laws that you do, laws that you don't. But it is very educational. Everybody ought to read it at least once. I know sometimes the pages of the Bible are still stuck together. And when's the last time you heard a sermon out of Deuteronomy? But it is a great book. So we're in chapter 21 today, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So in verse 1, chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, it says, "When you are in the land the Lord your God is giving you, someone may be found murdered in a field. You don't know who committed the murder. In such a case, the elders and judges must measure the distance from the site of the crime to the nearby towns. When the nearest town has been determined, the town's elders must select from a herd a heifer that has never been trained or yoked to a plow, and they must lead it to the valley that has not been plowed or planted and that has a stream running through it. There in the valley, they must break the heifer's neck, and the Levitical priests must step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him the performance. Blessings on the Lord's name, and there to decide all legal and criminal cases." In other words, they're the judges of what is going on in the modern day. "The elders must then wash their hands over the heifer whose neck has been broken. Then they must say, 'Our hands did not shed this person's blood, nor did we see it happen. O Lord, forgive your people Israel, whom you have redeemed. Do not charge your people with the guilt of murdering an innocent person. They will be absolved by the guilt of this person's blood. By following these instructions, you will do what is right in the Lord's sight, and you will cleanse the guilt of murder from your community.'" Verse 10, "Suppose you go out to war against your enemy. The Lord God has given you hands over them, and you take someone of them as captives. And suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and you are attracted to her, and you want to marry her. If this happens, you may take her to your home, where she must shave her head and cut her nails and change her clothes that she was wearing when she was captured. She will stay in your home, but let her mourn for her father and mother a full month. Then you may marry her, and you will be her husband. She will be your wife. Then you will marry her, and if she does not please you, you must let her go free. You must not sell her or treat her as a slave, for you have humiliated her. Then, in verse 15, suppose a man has two wives, but he loves one and not the other. Both have given him sons. And suppose the firstborn son, the son of the wife he does not love, when the man divides his inheritance, he may not give the larger inheritance to the younger son or the son of the wife that he loves, as if he were the firstborn son. He must recognize the right of the oldest son, the son of the wife that he does not love, by giving him a double portion. He is the first son of his father, of virility, and the rights of the firstborn belong to him." Now, I'm going to pause just a minute and let you know, God is so detailed. This is what you do, this is how you do it, and this is why you do it. This is what you do, this is why you do it, and this is what you do it for. So God's very detailed. And so suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, one who does not obey his father or his mother, even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court the town gate. If the parents say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn. He is rebellious. He refuses to obey. He is a glutton and he is a drunkard," then the men of the town must stone him to death. In this way, they will purge the evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. Well, now that's a tough law. Can you imagine that law today? You know, can you imagine what would happen but they were trying to prevent it from spreading. There was a reason they did it. Verse 22, if someone has committed a crime worthy of death, and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. In this way, you will prevent the defilement of the land the Lord your God has given you as your special possession. So God tied everything to everything. How you treat people, it's going to affect your land, it's going to affect your crops, it's going to affect your prosperity. You got to do what's right. Starting in chapter 22, verse 1, if you see your neighbor's ox or sheep or goat wandering away, don't ignore your responsibility. Take it back to its owner. Take it back to its owner. If the owner takes it into place to let you keep it until the owner comes looking for it. Then you must return it to the owner. Do the same if you find your neighbor's donkey, clothing, or anything that is your neighbor's that your neighbor loses. Don't ignore your responsibility. If you see that your neighbor's donkey has collapsed on the ground, do not look the other way. Go and help your neighbor get it back on its feet. If a woman must not put men's clothing, or a man must not wear women's clothing, anyone who does this is detestable in the sight of the Lord your God. Well, now that one verse will stir up some political unrest. If your man dresses a man, if your woman dresses a woman, don't be doing any cross-dressing. If you happen to find a bird's nest in a tree, and it's on the ground, and there are young ones and young are eggs in it, you got to do a try. This is when you were a kid, you know, you'd hear your grandmother tell you stories like this. If the mother is sitting in the nest, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but not the mother. Go so you possess it, and she must enjoy a long life. When you build a new house, you must build a railing around the edge of a flat roof. That way, you will not be considered guilty of murder if someone falls off the roof. You must not plant any other crop between the rows of your vineyard. If you do, you are forbidden to use either grapes from the vineyard or the other crop. You must not plow with an ox or a donkey harnessed together. You must not wear clothing made of wool and linen woven together. You must put four tassels on the hem of your cloak, which you will cover yourself on the front, back, and sides. Now, I know it's getting so detailed. People say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the laws in Deuteronomy. God's telling the people who've been slaves for 400 years, they don't know nothing. They don't know anything about God. They don't know about his laws, his ways. So God's trying to educate them. Now, I know I'm a New Testament believer. Well, the law's been done away with. It has. It's been replaced by a new and better covenant, the blood of Jesus. But the law is still good. There's nothing bad about the law. The law is pointing us to Jesus. You know, the Ten Commandments. You used to tell people, nobody has ever kept the Ten Commandments. Were they important? Yes. Moses went up to the mountain, they got the commandments. And he came down and got mad, smashed to the ground there, worshiping a golden calf. He goes back up, gets them fingerprinted by God again, comes back down. And they're in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments. But no human has ever kept the Ten Commandments. No human except Jesus Christ the righteous. No human's ever kept the Ten Commandments. Now, I know you go to courthouses all over America, and in front of the courthouse is the Ten Commandments. And I used to tell people, we admire them, not they certainly ought to be there. But I need to remind you, I told my kids, no one has ever kept them. If they're so important, why can't they keep them? That's why God gave them to show us we can't keep them. We needed his son. We can't make this salvation work by ourselves. We needed his son. So it says, when you build a new house, you must build it already around the edge of a flat roof. That way, if anybody falls off, you won't be considered guilty. It says this, jump down in verse 13. Regulates, suppose a man marries a woman, but after sleeping with her, he turns against her and publicly accuses her of shameful conduct, saying, when I married the woman, I discovered she was not a virgin. Then the woman's father and mother must bring proof of her virginity to the elders as they hold court the town gate. Her father must say to them, I gave my daughter this man as his wife. Now he has turned against her. He has accused her of shameful conduct, saying, I discovered that your daughter was not a virgin, but there is proof of my daughter's virginity, and there they must spread her bed, a blanket before the elders, and the elders must take the man and punish him. They must then fine him 100 pieces of silver, which he must pay to the woman's father because he publicly accused the virgin of Israel of shameful conduct. Though they were made the man's wife, he may never divorce her. But suppose a man's accusations are true. How can he show that she was not a virgin? Then the woman must be taken to the door of her father's house. There the men must stone her to death, for she has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her parents' home. In this way you will purge the evil from among you. If a man is discovered committing adultery, oh man, it gets ugly, both he and the woman must die. This way you will purge Israel of such evil. Suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, then you must take both of them to the gates of the town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not scream for help. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you. Now, I remember when I told my high school kids to do this, it was quiet. You could hear a pin drop. They didn't know God said anything about this. God has something to say about everything. But you got to remember, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple that had the Ark of the Covenant behind it, that had the Ten Commandments in it, that veil was torn top to bottom. The day Jesus died, the veil was torn top to bottom. No more blood, no more bulls, no more goats, no more sacrifice, no more blood running out of the temple. You don't cut the throat of any bull, any heifer, any turtle dove. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. It's now faith in what God did for us, not in what we do for ourselves. I'll give you one more, verse 28. Suppose a man has intercourse with a young woman who is a virgin, but she is not engaged to be married. If they are discovered, he must pay her father 50 pieces of silver. Then he must marry the young woman because he has violated her and may never divorce her as long as he lives. A man must not marry his father's former wife, or this will violate the father. So, that's some nasty scriptures, and you don't read it every day, but you need to realize that when I try to tell my high school kids, God has an opinion about everything. The Bible says, do not sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I said, there's never anybody on this planet that's ever lived without sinning. Everybody sin. Everybody in church is sin. Every saint sin. You got flesh, you sin. The Bible says that our flesh is damned. It's going back to dust. One day we get a new body. But the body we're in now, it's messed up. And that's why the Bible says, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You get to repent of your sin. You get to forgive if somebody sins against you. Every day you get to repent and you get to forgive the sin. It's what we do on a regular basis. Wow. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. We're known as the righteous people, not the perfect people. We fall seven times a day, but we get back up. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus. Does that give us permission to keep sinning? No. Paul addressed that to the Roman church. No, you don't just keep sinning. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And you can go boldly to the throne of grace and get mercy and help in time of need. What's mercy? You don't deserve it. You not earned it. But God is a merciful God. Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road heard the healing rabbi was coming. He's been blind from birth. He hears all the noise. What's that noise? And the people said, that healing rabbi is coming. He's been doing miracles, raising dead people, arms growing out, and eyeballs are popping in. So he began to yell. Blind Bartimaeus began to yell, mercy, son of David. Have mercy on me, mercy. He didn't say, hey, healing man, I need some eyeballs over here. What he hollered was mercy, because everybody knew if you're a person of the law, God is a merciful God. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God will give it when you ask for it. Mercy, son of David. And Jesus stopped his tracks. He walked over to him. He said, what can I do for you, blind man? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And the man got two set eyeballs that day. And he went walking, and he went praising God. Well, they drug him into the Sanhedrin later on that day, and they grilled him. And they asked the blind man who'd been blind from birth, who can now see, they asked him, do you believe this guy's a son of God? And the blind man said, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, and now I see. That's all I know. He got his eyeballs back. God loves to heal. God loves to save. God loves to redeem. We serve a good God. So let's meditate in the Word of God. Get your Bible open. Just read a chapter a day. Read something. Read a proverb a day. It'll stir you up, I promise you. Faith will come, and it'll start growing, and it'll produce great, great results in your life. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.